Aloha, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. You can go to live in France, but you cannot become a Frenchman. You can go to live in Germany or Turkey or Japan, but you cannot become a German, a Turk, or Japanese. But anyone from any corner of the earth can come to live in America and become an American. Welcome back to A Nation of Immigrants, a bi-weekly interview program featuring the lives of immigrants, knowledge, diversity, and inclusion. Created by Think Tank Hawaii and Kingfield Law Office, we invite renowned immigrants to discuss their life stories, immigration adventures, and their contributions to cultural diversity. Today's guest is Ms. Luosi Rose Chen, Chinese-American attorney based in New York City, entrepreneurial, and the host of Fireside Chats with Chinese-American Attorneys. Welcome, Rose. So happy you're with us today.
Aloha. Mr. Wang, thank you for inviting me to this great show.
Thank you very much. And as I said earlier, you are the first interview program host we interview. So I'm very excited about today's program. And I'm going to just read your short bio before we start the questioning. So you are a skilled and experienced real estate attorney licensed in New York State. You specialize in commercial and residential real property purchase and sale, commercial leasing, and construction loans throughout the New York metropolitan area with extensive knowledge of all types of real properties in New York City. You hold Fireside Chats with Chinese American Attorneys, a bi-weekly interview-based live show brought to you by Chinese American Lawyers Forum. And you are also entrepreneurial. During the COVID-19 pandemic, you founded a startup in New Jersey manufacturing special size disposable face masks for toddlers, preschoolers, teenagers, and petted women. You started your legal career in immigration law more than a decade ago, mostly defending immigrants with criminal convictions in removal proceedings. So, from your bio, I see you receive your LLB from Guangdong University of Finance and Economics, Guangdong Caijing Daxue.
Yes.
And you also receive a LLM degree from Cardozo School of Law in New York. So could you summarize your immigration adventure from China to the United States?
I would say my journey to the U.S. is quite common as to other Chinese international students. I was born and raised in China, in Canton, Guangdong. That's how you say that in my bio intro. And I went to college in Guangdong, of course. So in the last year of my college, my husband, at the time my boyfriend, received an offer from a university in New York City. He decided to accept the offer and pursue his PhD degree in the U.S. So we decided we came here together. So that's how I landed in New York City.
All right. Thank you. It's a common, but it's still very interesting. And so you started with, which means when you first came to the United States, and you already settled in New York, and for all these years, you never moved. You're always in New York City.
Correct. More than 15 years here. Except during the pandemic, I went to New Jersey to set up the factory.
All right. That's very cool. We're going to get to that momentarily. And first thing first, because I'm very interested in learning more about the backstage story of Fireside Chats with Chinese American Attorneys, and with you started and you have been hosting most of the time. What motivated you to start the program, and what you have been trying to achieve through this platform?
Oh, actually, I didn't start the program myself. One of your guest speaker, Ms. In Cao, in April. She and another great Chinese attorney, Chinese American attorneys, decided to start the program. They So they need someone to empowerment, right? They need some host. It happened that before 1 week, exactly 1 week before the three attorneys talked together about the show, I talked to Ms. Cao privately because we knew each other before. She asked me some questions about real estate law, and she also knew that I was doing the business and my face mask business. So she asked me, would you like to come back to the legal field in the future? I said, maybe not right now, but I am really interested in interviewing my peers, Chinese American attorneys. And then 1 week later, she and the other two Chinese American attorneys talked and they need a host. So I am become the candidate. So that's how we started the show. But myself, in terms of myself, why I would like to be a host, because before I applied for the college, I never think of I want to be an attorney. My dream job is actually an archaeologist. And the second choice is a journalist or reporter. But my family members that if you are an archaeologist, how can you be yourself in the future? Especially back then when I was in high school trying to apply for a college, the economic there or the big environment is not that supporting archaeologists. Okay, now it's much, much better. Okay. And second choice is journalist or reporter. They said, I'm a girl, right? If you are the reporter, you need to run everywhere. At that time, there's no Zoom. So physically be on site, that's necessary. So they said, why don't you just become a lawyer? Because I did a lot of debate back in high school, middle school, even in elementary school. Okay, mm-hmm. I said, okay. Since I do the debate, maybe I can be a good attorney. then I applied to college and got into the law school. But myself always have the dream to pursue what I love. So I think during the pandemic, our life has been changed. So since I can't start a business, I may be able to start what I was dreaming to do. So then I think my background was in law. I don't want to abandon it. So that's how it become I interview or I say or step. I always talk to myself. Actually, I'm more like a journalist or reporter rather than a host. So I investigated my guest speaker's background or their news, and then I make a plan for interviewing them. So that's how I incorporated my dream and my past background.
Thank you very much. You are doing a very fine job interviewing these seasoned attorneys. And we had the privilege and the pleasure interviewing Yin Cao a few weeks ago. And I really appreciate you and your colleagues setting up the platform and setting up the program. And there's quite beneficial to the Chinese American attorneys. That's not many, you know, we're just a few hundred of us. You mentioned your dream was to be an archaeologist, a reporter, journalist, and now you are attorney, a host, and entrepreneurial. And just to remind me that one of my friend who is an artist, and he told me, and I have no definition. Nobody can define me because I'm too talented to be defined. I think that all the talented people are always hard to define and have a multiple identity. So you are one of them. And now we're going to move to your next identity, entrepreneurial. You founded a mask manufacturing startup during the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you tell us about what inspired you to do this business?
Okay, before I answer this question, I have to say thank you for your kind words. I would say all my guest speakers, Chinese American attorneys, they are talents. Okay, back to the question. Why I started this face mask business? Because I have teenager kids, And I also have a toddler kid. When the pandemic just started in 2020, the schools were shut down. So in your city, lockdown, right? They didn't go to school. And in September 2020, schools were open. But if you choose to go to school, you have to wear a mask. And we could not find the proper size for a teenager. At that time, my son was 9 years old. My toddler was like almost 3 years old. There's no proper size of face mask. So I said, why not? I start making them by myself, right? To benefit my kids and then benefit my neighbor's kids, benefit my friend's kids, and then eventually benefit my community's kids and your city kids and the United States kids. So that's my ambition and how I got into this industry.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting story. And obviously, we all faced the same, you know, a problem during the pandemic and finding the right masks to protect ourselves. And you, the name of your company is P and Pi. Where did this come from?
Oh, first, I need to correct you.
Okay.
So, yeah, a lot of people pronounce as P, but actually it's a pi. So that's a scientific symbol. Yeah. Of pi. Thank you very much for this great question. Actually, a lot of people asked it. They don't know why I need to name it. Actually, I didn't name it. My son named it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I would say he's more like entrepreneur than me. He has the business sense. He said a brand has to be easy to be remembered, mm-hmm. and people will like it. So he's in the United States. People like pie, pizza. So he came out the second pie, P-I-E pie. And then he also said a brand name should be easy to say. If it rhymes, it's easier mm-hmm. to remember. So that's how he educated me.
All right.
We think pie. Yeah, because the special sizes we are making were not available on the market. You have to use some engineer and technology to first to make the equipment, right? Because if you don't have the equipment, you cannot make the face mask. And how you make the equipment, it involves engineering. So that's kind of like science, so or technology. So then we use Pi to represent us. Our mission is to use the technology to protect people.
Fantastic. So you are a practicing attorney, and I assume that a practicing law is quite different from running a manufacturing facility business, and it's different from running a corporation. But how is your legal background help you to run this company, this LLC, limited liability company? And I guess your legal specialty is going to help you to navigate the regulatory landscape, didn't it?
Thank you. It's also a very good question. I would say I just act as an in-house counsel to my company. Right, first you need to form the LLC. Well, although I'm a real estate attorney, but I form a lot of LLC for my clients during my practice. So forming a company is not a challenging to me, right? The real challenging is it goes through the regulatory process. I didn't have the background before, but I have so many networks, right? I know so many attorneys. If I don't know anything, I can just call my friends or ask attorney friends to give me referrals. So I just ask around people. And also part of attorney's job is educating ourselves constantly, right? We have a CLE, continual legal education. So I can just pick some CLE courses and learn by myself. And as attorney, although I do real estate law, but I didn't give up research skills. So if I encounter something new, even I don't know which area of law I should get into or ask proper attorneys, I just did some research by myself. That's how useful to my how my legal background contribute to the business. Yeah.
So true. So true. You worked in different areas of the law, real estate and immigration, and you also started your own business. And what advice would you give to other professionals, particularly the law school grads, who are interested in a non-traditional career path or more diverse career path? They not just working for a law firm and then go from there. But obviously, you have your multiple career paths simultaneously, parallel. And what advice would you give to other people who are interested in this path?
Oh, thank you for the kind words. I don't think I am a really good example because the face mask business is a completely new area to me. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to me at the beginning. I faced a lot of challenges, but thank God I overcame them. So if I am qualified to give advice to young generations, I would say you start from something that have similarities with your legal practice. For example, I was an attorney, now I am interviewing attorneys. So although my role is the host, a reporter, a journalist, but I still in the field, right? My guest speakers are attorneys. So start from something you have similarities before, or you really have passion. I have passion for the interview. So I guess even I don't interview attorneys, I will still do it and do it well because passion leads to success. Third, I would say maybe some young professionals, you can start with your client's business, do some investment with your clients, or it's not a wise choice because sometimes you will get into trouble if you invest business with your clients. But what I say is your client's industry, right? You learn from your clients. You invest in certain industries because when you talk to your clients, you may find something interesting or really promising, right? I know some securities law attorneys, they find out some areas that promising, then they invest in that industry. And also you can be passive investor. That means you don't need to get involved to do so much work by yourself. You just let people to run the business. You invest money or you invest your specialties, legal advice. Okay.
Very good advice. I definitely will follow your advice. Most of my clients are artists, and I'm already investing in art, and I'm definitely considering investing more. And I totally agree with you that all of your guests on the first chat with Chinese American attorneys are very talented, and all of them are extremely experienced, and we really appreciated their sharing their insights with the audience. And by hosting this show, like 2 years already, almost 2 years, you're hosting this show, and must provide you with some unique insights into the legal profession, and particularly the Chinese American law practice in the United States. Could you share with us some key experience or memorable moments from your time of being this host?
Oh, there are a lot of memorable time because every guest speaker is unique. So I would say some symbolic interview, I would say. At the early stage of my interview, I interviewed Mr. Zhu Dongwang. You might know him because he represents a Chinese visiting scholar at University of Illinois. You graduated from there, right?
Oh yeah, UAUC, then my alma mater.
Yeah. So, but what he represents is the victim from his family. It's a very sad story. Ying Zhang, the visiting Chinese scholar, the girl were murdered, right? The tragedy happened in 2017, and Mr. Wang represents the family to look for the justice and look for the bodies of the young girl for almost 2 years. And this is completely pro bono service. So, but anyhow, that's the background of Mr. Wang. But what I would say why I say it's memorial is because Mr. Wang opened to all my questions. I can ask any questions I want. I really appreciate that because sometimes I ask challenging questions. So I think the wisdom came from those challenging questions. And I also appreciate he kind of lay out the tone of the program. He is being so sincere. And so later on, other guest speakers were very sincere. So once you open your heart, you can share a lot of insights, true stories, and very very touching stories or very inspiring stories. And I actually enjoy the moment that I ask questions that not prepared either by him or by myself, asking spontaneously questions. I feel like I also have, I am enjoying the intellectual challenges. Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. I definitely will rewatch that episode. That's very impressive. I've been doing interview program for more than 2 years. And first with another program called Midway, and for the past 1.5 years, doing a Nation of Immigrants. I have to say that the interview program has profoundly changed my own view on many issues because I learned from my guests. And have the conversations with the Chinese American attorneys influenced your own view, your outlook, or your practice in any way?
Yes, of course. First of all, I was amazed by the diversity of practice areas and work settings by my guest speakers. They work in private sectors, they work in public sectors, they work a bit law myself from or solo being a solo practitioners, or they work like an in-house sale. Some are working in the government for non-attorney jobs. Okay, so and the area of law they practice are, wow, amazing. Some are common, just like immigration law or real property, what we do, and some are really niche, just like the derivatives, one of the financial product. They do all the law regarding that financial product. Some work on a high-stake patent litigation cases. Some work on very narrow, very niche area, like environmental law. So it totally opened my eyes. Okay. Before interviewing, I have like a stereotype. Sorry, have to say that. I have a stereotype like first-generation Chinese-American attorneys. They may work on more on immigration law or business related areas such as mergers and acquisitions, real properties, or securities laws, all about transactionals, or some commercial litigation, because if you have transactional work, you have sometimes you will face the litigation, then you will have to have attorneys to defend or advocate for you, right? So but after the interview, wow, I was amazed. And the second thing is that I would say the younger generation of Chinese American attorneys, they are more sophisticated than my peers, or back then when I was at their age. They made informed decisions. For example, they watch our interview programs, or maybe watch your interview programs to get the firsthand info or materials. And they consult lots of mentors, law school alums, or practicing attorneys, or even judges. They went to so many seminars, or they watch so many shows. They are much more sophisticated. I learned from them. They even they have set up the career, very clear career path at a young age. So I think it also remind myself, although I am not that young, but I'm not old either. I should have planned my career better, my career path better. Okay.
We are young. You and I are young. Oh, that yeah. What your answer naturally leads to our last question that we normally ask our distinguished guests. If you had an opportunity to offer some advice to your younger self in her 20s, say fresh out of college, what advice would you share?
Thank you. I really want to share this because I think I could have done better if I made informed decision. So I would say, young generation should pursue what they are passionate about and good at. It will save much work, and it may lead you to success and achievement relatively easier. For example, I first landed on immigration law because when I graduated law school, that was in 2009, it was very hard to find jobs because the financial crisis, right? At that time, only immigration law, bankruptcy, or divorce had a lot of job opportunities. So I landed on immigration law. And then later on, I said I have to do something I am not good at. I didn't have that much business experience. So I want to do something that challenged myself. So then I got an opportunity to do real estate transactions, so that how I got into real estate practice. But actually, I don't think I am very good at transactional works, although I render pretty good work now. I am recognized by my peers in my community, but I would say like interviewing people, that's my strength and my interest lies on. So I would say if more than 15 years ago, or even 20 years ago, I studied with journalists or reporters, even like I report legal professionals, I may have a higher achievement.
Good advice. Thank you so much for your time, Rose. And it's our privilege and pleasure to have you on the show. As I said, you're the first talk show host we interviewed. What a coincidence. Well, and thank you so much for your good work with the Fireside Chats with Chinese American Attorneys. I look forward to continue to watching your show. And I wish you the best with your Pie in the Pie mask company. And do good work, continue to do your good work, and be well and keep in touch. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And best of luck to you. And thank you for inviting me to this great show too. Thank you.
Aloha. See you next time.
Bye.
Thank you so much for watching ThinkTech Hawaii. If you like what we do, please like us and click the subscribe button on YouTube and the follow button on Vimeo. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and donate to us at thinktechhawaii.com. Mahalo.